Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started, but metaphorically.
Metaphorically, yeah. They get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. So, I win.
Do you?
Do I?
Let's take all the kids to Target and see who wins.
Shaylee, I'm going to math you right now.
Math me.
Okay, let's pretend it takes like at least a half an hour every night to prep dinner by the time you get everything dragged out and, you know, at least, if not more. And you have to do that 5 weeknights.
It's depressing.
Yeah. Okay, but now let's pretend that you just pick one night.
Yeah.
You get out your cutting board one time.
And my chef knife.
And your chef knife one time.
Okay.
You get in the cooking zone, as I like to call it.
I like it.
Which zone. Has actually kind of become sort of a little happy place.
Ooh.
And then it only takes you like, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 hours, but you're doing it all at once.
You just turned a chore into a happy place?
I think so. And then the rest of the week, instead of being like, what am I going to cook tonight? You're like, oh, thanks, past me. You already did all of that, and I'm just kind of on autopilot, sticking stuff in the oven.
Yeah, you are.
You're not getting your cutting board out again.
Mm-mm.
No. And all that adds up to time that you're saving. I mathed you.
You mathed me.
Prep Dish is a meal planning service. Every week you get an email with a grocery list, prep ahead instructions, so all your meals are ready for the week. No guesswork needed. Visit prepdish.com/SK, where the founder, Allison, is offering you a free 2-week trial. Try it out for free. This is a no-brainer. Guys, welcome back. Today we have Shaylee Murphy in the house, who's going to lead this one.
About I'm always in the house.
Organizing our creative chaos, this time in the form of...
Home
renovations, which is terrifying to me.
Really?
I think about home renovations, and then I think, nope. No, thank you.
Why? Why do you say no up front?
That sounds like what rich people do.
Right.
Right.
But it's not.
And I don't want to fight with my husband about any decisions, so I'll just leave it as it is.
It can be stressful, which is why I'm doing this episode.
And pretend it's different in my brain.
Okay. So, I'm excited about this one. We love organizational tips. So,
but before we get into it.
Oh, okay. That's right.
We have to thank our...
Amazing fake sponsor.
Our amazing fake sponsor.
This is the one that's not paying us money.
Not paying us money.
No cash monies.
This episode is brought to you by... Pins!
Like the ones you write with?
No. Like the ones you digitally pin to a digital pin board.
Right. Like, so, like a website... could be
like
created
you were
with like pictures,
picking a bunch of bookmarks
that you like pin.
Yes.
Someone should make one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pins.
Pins.
We need some taglines.
Okay.
Pins. This is what your life could look like, but you don't because you're a failure.
You're just not good enough.
Here's just keep a record of all the things you're not doing as well as
that's
magazines.
Good.
Pins.
Yeah. Pins. When you want to feel bad about everything.
Okay. Pins. Ooh, I know. If I make a board full of this pixie cut on this skinny supermodel and I pin it enough.
Great.
I bet my body will look like her body once I cut my hair really short.
It'll be the same.
I bet. You know what I bet? I bet this lack of hair will help offset all of my chins. And now I have the proof because of pins.
Pins! Making people feel bad about themselves since 2011.
I don't know when they started.
Good, good,
right.
Good.
Thanks, pins.
Okay, thanks, pins. That was good.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so my first line and points in my outline is how to keep and organize all of those awesome renovation ideas that are lost in Pinterest.
Don't tell me.
So basically, I work with clients that are doing renovations, so I do that side of thing a lot, but I'm thinking through, Katie and I are both moving, surprise! We have a house that we're moving into, and I'm kind of going through that whole process right now. So for the first time, Katie, I feel like I've kind of been where you're at, where I have clients that do renovations, but I've always kind of been like, that's what rich people do. Who has like money lying around to hire anyone to do anything? You do it all yourself. But for the first time, we're going to be able to move into a house and like put a little bit of money into doing some things that we want to do up front that we're not qualified to do, like a little plumbing and electrical, a little bit of brickwork.
Yes, describe the age of the house.
It's built in 1925. Whew. It's an older home in a charming neighborhood.
Just curious, when this house was brand new, let's pretend you were the first resident.
Okay.
Were you allowed to vote?
Probably not. I was probably just as upset as a lot of women today, but I wasn't allowed to vote at all. So there was literally no way for my voice to be heard. And there were no podcasts, so, you know.
Should I Google it?
Nah.
Let's not fact check it.
Nah, I'm sure we're correct. We're exactly correct. Okay. No, I think women could vote in 1925.
Okay. Don't fact check it. Guys, don't correct
check us.
Don't be that
person.
You weren't alive either.
Right. If we're wrong, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Polly.
It's important. I'm glad that I can vote now. I'm sorry.
It's important.
We've added it. We might be wrong. We guessed. Okay. So, the house. We're going to do some stuff on the house. It's overwhelming mentally to think about everything. So you can basically pay someone to subcontract the whole thing for you. You buy a contractor. You pay them. You don't own them forever. And then they basically handle everything, but you're paying them for that. Mm-hmm. So the route that we're going to go, partially because my major was interior design and we want to save money, we're going to do some of it ourselves.
Oop.
And then we're going to find subs to do the things that we don't or can't do on our own. And so I've kind of put together in a little outline, tips and tricks for organizing the creative chaos in your brain and making it go from the Pinterest board that you love to actually carrying it out. A disclaimer, I'm in the beginning phases of this, so we might do an update episode where I'm like, never mind. But it's basically the same thing that I do with clients. It's just the first time we're kind of doing it on our own, not over a long period of time, just knocking it out in like a month. So essentially, the first step is to research and brainstorm. So this is something we probably do as creatives and just women and people in general that enjoy that. We do it all the time. That's like looking in a magazine and seeing something that you're like, ooh, I like that. I like that kitchen. Ooh, white subway tile. I like that. I like this color grout. I'd love to have that wallpaper somewhere in my house. So in this phase, I call it the fun phase. It's the one that you do for fun. You don't have to sit down and make yourself like, man, I'm going to brainstorm, because you just naturally kind of do it. So I would say don't focus on this phase as being stressful. You don't have to like know your exact style and everything you want. You don't have to know space planning and all that type of thing. Just think of, what do I like when I see it? And then that idea you've been thinking about for 2 years that for some reason you really want to do like this certain kind of geometric tile in a random bathroom or something. Whatever you've been seeing and liking, get it all organized. You could use a site like Pinterest, where you kind of just throw all of your thought vomit, if you will, out. You literally made a vomit sound.
Vomit.
You could also cut pictures out of magazines. I'm kind of...
OG Pinterest.
Yeah.
Get yourself a bulletin board.
Uh-oh. Old school. Like 1925, when women couldn't vote. Right?
Possibly.
Maybe.
When
around,
women could or could not vote.
It was like 100-ish years ago. So we... made some Pinterest boards and kind of had everything out there, but then that still kind of becomes overwhelming, because when you start really looking up sizing and there's a lot of tabs involved, and then, you know, my husband doesn't, you know, use Pinterest frequently, so it's not like he can hop on there and see it. I'm not going to, like, share a Pinterest board with my, like, drywall guy.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I guess you could, but he probably, like, doesn't use Pinterest. I don't know. Maybe I'm profiling. Anyway, so don't worry about if everything matches or if it has the same style. You're basically just finding images that you like. So that's phase one. You can take screenshots of your Instagram as you're scrolling. Like, I like this. I'm going to just get it saved somewhere. So you're not like, I saw this picture one time on Instagram that they suggested in the algorithm that I would like.
And I can't ever find
it. Doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. Also, look at books. Remember those things that weren't digital that you could see? Look in books, go to Barnes & Noble, just rip out the page that you like and stick it in your purse. No, but you can take a picture on your phone of the book, or buy a book or a magazine, and you do, you know, you can't actually cut them out. So, and if you don't know the name, so there could be like, I really love this style of blank, but you never knew that it was called an apron sink or whatever. Like, if there's a type of faucet you like or a type of floor, like, figure out what, okay, I really like that type of wood. What kind of wood plank is, like, what kind of wood is it that you're talking about? Because what's going to happen is you're going to go to the store, the flooring store, they're going to go, what type of wood are you looking for? And you're like, hardwood. You know, and they're like, do you want oak? Do you want hickory?
Brown.
Do you want, and you're like, hardwood that looks like this. And they're like, that's a stain. Anyway, so just researching, like, I like it. How do I verbalize it to people who are in the trade? Find less expensive options for those high-end things that you love. So this is the phase to where you can decide, what is the thing that I love called? And then how much is it? And if it's one of those things you're like, oh, wow, like, that's not gonna happen, then you can figure out, can I Craigslist a version of it? Can I have a version made? Do I have to break up with the idea of that thing that I love? Or
I would love an example for this.
Okay.
Shayla me this.
Okay. There is a farm sink with, like, really cool, it's like a trough sink that's wall-mounted.
Ooh.
We saw a picture of it. My husband and I both were on board. We loved it. It'd be a double sink in our master bathroom.
Cool.
It's cast iron, wall-mounted, and it has black, like, painted underneath in gold, like, brass.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Faucets. It's expensive.
How expensive?
With shipping, because it's cast iron, it's probably around, like, $2,000. However,
that's what I'd spend on the bathroom.
Right.
Total.
Right. So listen, I don't know if we're going to do it or not, but the single one is like $1,400.
Okay.
And it's like 6 feet long. It's big. And the knobs and faucets and everything are included, which another place was like, it's only $1,200. And each faucet that fits it that we recommend you order from us is $500. So we're like, what? So then we gave up on the idea. And now we're toying. We don't know where we're at on all the numbers and everything, but it's saved in my file.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, is that's the other thing. Figure out what you want to splurge on, what you can spend less on. So I started looking at Craigslist, and I'm like, I can find a cast iron wall-mounted sink with no faucets, so I'd have to purchase the hardware and refinish it, but they're still around $350 to $500. So I'm like, if I buy it, I have it refinished, I paint it, I buy the faucets, it's going to be a less good-looking version of what I want for $2,000, and if I end up having $1,250 invested in it, is it worth it?
Right.
For the time, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Right.
But that's a real time example.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
You know, but maybe instead of getting a $500 tub, I get a $200 tub or whatever. And we do Subway Tile everywhere. That's like a dollar something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so there's, and I think that I've even talked about in the fashion episode, mixing expensive things.
Right.
With less expensive things. If you do everything builder grade, it's going to look builder grade. But if you throw in a random nice fixture that's like the highlight, that's what everyone sees. And then they all of a sudden think you spent $35,000 on this bathroom. But really, you know, maybe you got everything else for $1,000 and spent two on this really cool feature, 5-6 foot farm sink that's wall mounted with beautiful brass faucets. So
we'll see.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to go for it. But that would be one item out of everything right now. Every finish we're doing right now is inexpensive. Every lighting, fixture, everything. That's the only thing that I'm like, I want to splurge on this, maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I've researched lesser expensive options and then I'm weighing the pros and cons.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you ever feel like if I'm going to splurge, it should be on like the guest bath sink because people come and see that, and
no.
I should make master things cheap because
no.
I only see that.
No, because who's going to be living in your house more, you or the guest?
So you would get joy out of it.
I would, and that's something that I would find joy out of, but
right.
I'm thinking like, I'd wash my baby in that sink, you know, or whatever. I mean, Opal would be like, I'm too big, don't put me in there. Like, double enforce it, she's pushing 40. So, I don't know. I think that I would always lean on spend money on stuff that you're going to get use out of. And we went, the house that we're moving from, we were kind of like, we're going to redo the floors eventually. We're going to redo that pink bathroom eventually. We're going to paint the master bedroom eventually. It's been 6 years. We've done none of those things. We have the same floor, the same pink bathroom that like doesn't ventilate properly. We have the same, I mean, I love our house, our current one, but all the stuff that we were like, phase two never happened. Mm-hmm. So with this one, we're like, okay, we could adjust what we're putting down on the house price-wise with what we're walking in with it to where we're like, should we put as much down as we possibly can and then fix stuff up over time as we can afford it? Or do we put less down? Doesn't affect the payment that much. This might be bad financial advice, sorry. And then do everything we want to do. Because it's not a gutter, but it's one that we're like, if we threw some money at it and like...
it could really shine.
Right. Well, we could make it everything that we would like, our dream home of like every bathroom has white subway tile or whatever. And we're keeping a lot of original, like we want the original sink and the original tub and the middle bathroom, but we're looking to like add a extra bathroom off the master, like making, you know, older homes didn't have like a true master. So there's one room that's like 26 feet long. It's awkwardly wrong. You'd almost have to have, it feels like this is two rooms, but there's only one door. So I guess it's one. So we're going to chop that off and make a big closet and a bathroom. So that's kind of like also bathrooms and kitchens. You're going to get your value back out of that if it's in a good area and it's appraising for, you know, at or above what you're getting it for, then you know it's a smart financial decision. You're not spending money on something that's going to be lost. So kitchens and bathrooms are a good place, but you can also save, I mean, you can do a really nice looking bathroom without spending $2,000 on a really cool farm wall mounted sink like I love. So we'll see. If you never see it, what I'm describing, you'll know that we
But if she gets it, no, she's going to be Instagramming it.
Instagram once a week minimum. I'll only post once a week. It'll make a whole Instagram
just
for that
sink. You
know
how you do like price per wear with clothing?
Right.
This is like price per Instagram.
Right, price per Instagram. I mean, I'm going to wash my hands in that sink all the time. It's going to be great. Okay.
You actually wash Jonathan in the sink.
I do, slowly. He would not fit in there. I'd be like,
Woody, it's 6 foot.
It's like not, I mean, I guess if you turn sideways. If you turn sideways, I'm getting a really bad visual. Okay, so that's step one. Okay, so step two. So you have all your mental thoughts.
You put your husband somewhere. In the sink.
Step two, you lower him into the basin. Okay, so step two, organize the chaos into a single location. So right now you have magazine trimmings, and you have a Pinterest board, and you have the notes in your phone, and you have the random camera roll that you just have like screenshots from random people's Instagram. So you're going to take all of that and you're going to put it into one location. This may not be, disclaimer, the best location. This is what I do. You could use Trello or iPhone's notepad or whatever. I use a Google Drive because that's what I do for business.
And you're addicted.
I'm addicted to Drive.
It's just drive-dicted.
Drive-dicted. I love Google Drive. I use it in work, and so it's like a natural segue for me. If you've never used Google Drive, you'd probably like open it up and be like, the folders, my brain, this does not feel like it makes sense. Some people love Pinterest, and that works for them. I love Pinterest as my brainstorm phase, but then I need one document. I don't have to click on a link that it opens where I can have everything in one place. So what I do is I create one for the home. I have our home inspection, our home appraisal, photos that I took of the home, and then like a document called renovation, and then a spreadsheet that's coming for later on. And what I do is I put a link to the farm sink. We'll use that example. A link to the farm sink. If I need the measurements, I type the measurements in the top, like 6 foot by 2 foot or whatever. And then I put like a link to the hardware. I put the price. I put all the information I need to see with the link, even an image sometimes. I do this for clients too, if I'm sending them like a design direction. So that way you can look at it, you can see, you're not just looking at a sea of links.
Right.
Or Pinterest where every time you click on it, it opens a new tab and then you're like, where am I? Wading through back to your board. So you can see this is the sink, this is what it looks like, that's the size, that's the price. And then maybe you have four sink options, you can do the same thing. But the link is there in the document that you can click on if you're at the point where you're wanting to pull the trigger and like order it, or if you need weird random specifications or shipping information, you can click into it later. When you find a link that you love, don't just try to remember it. Copy and paste it into your Google Drive immediately or wherever your place is. I said if I'm feeling extra fancy, I save the image. You don't have to do that, but title the links so it's not just 27 links that you have to search through to find the one sink. Make a spreadsheet with the finish schedule for the demo and final installation, contractors, contacts, and availability. So within Drive, you can make sheets which is like an Excel spreadsheet. But you can make one and do different tabs at the bottom. So one could be contractor's contacts. So when my dad's like, oh, I have a brick guy, and like texts it to me 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I'm not like looking through a random text or like, ugh, heaven forbid, Katie texts me something and then I never can find it. Mm-hmm. It like doesn't even work. Or someone emailed me something or whatever. I wrote them all down on like an actual piece of paper, but now I'm typing them into Google Drive because then 3 years later, if I'm looking for a drywall guy, I have his contact information saved. Nice. I do that with baby showers too. Addresses, man. Saves you a lot of time. So you could do different tabs for budget, what you're wanting to spend on things, you know, the list of what you're wanting to do in order of priority to where you know, okay, I'm going to start here and I'm going to go down until we run out of budget of what I want to do. Mm. And then you're getting your most important things done first and you're not spending money on something that you could
wait on. What's your most important thing and your least important thing?
Okay, I can do this. We are, which we already know we can do in budget, but we need to fix some of the brick. It's brick home. So there's some tuck pointing that needs to be done and some fixing on the exterior siding to just make everything like... There's one corner that like some water's got in. So okay. We just need to like preserve necessary. The brick. Right. Preserve the brick and it's necessary to do so that everything stays solid.
That's like not as fun, is it?
No, it's not as fun. I'm like, oh, that brick still looks like brick.
Right. It looks pretty.
Here's your money. But right. it's important, I guess, you know, integrity of the home. Paint. We're going to paint everything to floor to ceiling. I know that all white might be going out. That's what we're going to do. We're going to paint it all white like a big old blank slate. And then we can add color, wallpaper, whatever as we want. But it's going to give us like... a fresh slate mm-hmm. to kind of go into it. We have an eclectic style. We're not going to be, you know, designing it for period 1925.
Right.
So we'd like to keep the historical integrity of the home while mixing in more of the eclectic style.
You know, if you do want to do a 1925 theme, I have some ideas.
Do you? Little House on the Prairie?
Okay, what could hang some posters that are like, my husband says to vote for him.
It's awful. And I'll hang it in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
That's because
good.
That's where you are.
That's where my cot will be. I'll take the back staircase, which there is one. The staircase my is the goodness. Saddle stair, so it's like the front one and the back one.
If those walls could talk, they'd hear a lot of crying women.
I know. Our house was built on the tears of women. Okay, so that's, okay, so start to finish. So painting it, we're updating the plumbing. We're just doing all new plumbing, so we don't have to worry about it. We got a really reasonable bid on that. We're adding some lighting and some can lights because that's one of Jonathan's non-negotiables is he doesn't want a house to feel dark and dingy.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding.
Does it have like no overhead lights right now?
It has like, you know, one, like a pendant light for like the whole room or something.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, 1925. Mm-hmm. And then we're adding, to us, the biggest non-negotiable is we're adding a bathroom and a closet in the master 26-foot, which isn't their current master. They have two kids staying in there, but yeah. So, like, that's kind of our big priority. And then we go to, like, there's the pink bathroom that we could redo, but it's Opal's, and she loves pink. So, like, if we can't afford it, it's pink. She loves pink.
Right.
And if we can, awesome. Let's get that done. We're refinishing the floors before we move in. That's non-negotiable because once you get furniture in, it's, like,
right,
putting the toothpaste back in the tube to get that done.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Making the driveway a pull through the garage because it's like a little one-way driveway and then it goes into a two-car garage and it has an alley behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So busting that out to where no one gets trapped in, you can drive through.
Oh, that's cool.
For a quick getaway from having a baby shower for Jonathan.
Is that
that's on the not super important.
They might get cut.
I mean, it's important to Jonathan. It depends who you ask how important it is.
I
yeah,
know, but
that's
this
a might
is like
get
a
cut.
Lot of decisions
that's
to make
a might
together.
Get cut. I know. These are all man life guys. We're like super excited and at the same time we're like, we did this to ourselves. It's a lot. And I just keep looking at everything in the house like, gotta move that. That's gonna have to go in a box. Gonna have to move that.
In your current house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just like looking at everything like, this is a lot of work we decided
like,
to do.
You know what's cool about this house is all of our stuff is already here.
It's already all white. Man.
Whew.
We could have just redone this one pink bathroom instead of a whole house. Okay.
But alas.
It's sold. So it's been inspected and they said okay. And we're kind of between total DIY and then acting as our own contractor and working with subs. So, like, I'm not going to be tuck pointing the brick. I'm not going to be doing the electrical. I'm not going to be doing the plumbing, and I'm not going to probably install my own cabinets.
Not
so,
with that attitude, you won't.
Not with that attitude. I'll have a very successful blog. It's like, it'll be called, I failed.
Instead of a beautiful mess, it's just a mess.
It's just a hot mess. She's hot, and her house is a mess.
And her house is hot now.
Yeah,
she did the electrical.
She tried to do the HVAC and burned it down. Okay, so step three, finalize budgets. So you know what you like to look at. You know you've gotten bids and names of people. Get bids on things. I'm kind of a sucker, and when I meet someone, I feel like personally vested. Like, we've met Roger, and like we talked. And
Roger's probably doing the best
Roger's
he can.
Roger's nice. He's like, a, you know, but get three Rogers in there and get all their bids, because you never want to find out you paid $1,200 more on something that you could have gotten a really good deal on. So, and then tell them up front, hey, Roger.
Roger, I'm, too, said.
I'm getting bids on this. Well, no, but if you let them know up front, here's the thing. If you have them in your house,
right,
you are a nice person and make friends with them, then you feel, if you're like me and you're a people pleaser, you feel indebted to Roger One. And then he leaves, and then you feel like you're cheating on him if you're like, I'm going in a different direction, Roger One. I'm sorry. But if up front, before they even step into your home, you just say, hey, Roger. I've never talked to you in my life, Roger. I got your name from X. Or not, you know, whatever.
I'm gonna level with you. You're gonna fall in love with me. I'm gonna fall in love with you.
But I'm
but
dating other people.
But we cannot commit to this.
Well, but all you say is, "Hey, I'm getting bids on my brick. Mm-hmm. Would you like to come by and
brids,
give me a bid,
if you will?
Bricks,
brids,
brids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brids, bids on my bricks. But all you say is like, "Hey, I'm getting several industry. Bids. Do you want to come and give me a quote?" And then they'll say, "Absolutely," because they da 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 want the work, just like everything. But if you let them know up front, I'm getting bids, then they know up front, hey, I may not get this job. So A, they're going to come with their best number.
Right.
B, you're not going to feel bad if you don't go with them because you've been very upfront with them. Mm-hmm. They chose to come and spend their time with you knowing that it could be a risk. So I'm talking to myself, really. I'm like, right, Shaylee, don't feel indebted to Rogers. All right. So.
Freaking Rogers.
Get out, so then you get everything on your list. Okay, so try to get everything done at one time that you can. We talked about the pink bathroom and the floors and everything that's still in our current home. Phase twos usually don't come. I'm a professional phase twoer. I'm always like, that's going to be phase two. Well, phase two basically means like never. So if you're, this is very specific to like moving into a new home, but this could be anything. Like let's say you're updating your craft room or whatever. If you're like, and then phase two is going to be shelves. I realize not everyone has budget to do it, but like wait till you have a tiny budget or a medium-sized budget or whatever, large budget, until you get to a point where you're like, hey, I can do this. Okay, well, when I'm do it and I'm going to move everything out and I'm going to work with contractors, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to just do everything I can because, as we're finding now too, you don't want to fix up your house to sell it to someone else because that's no fun.
That's such a bummer.
You want to fix your house up to live in it.
Like, I like white grout, but they probably like gray grout.
Right. So do it at the beginning and do everything that you'd, you know, I wouldn't want to be going through my house and updating all of the plumbing for like to sell it because then you're like, enjoy the plumbing. We can use our toilets for 4 days for that. You know what I mean? But
right.
It's like you enjoy the water pressure in bathing your baby in a $2,000 sink. You know,
you know how you do.
You know, like you do in the gold water. Do it to where you can enjoy it. And that's kind of my, I don't know, part of me is like, we have to put as much as we can down. And then all of a sudden, this is the first house we moved into where I'm like, huh. So we could not put that,
right.
All the equity from our current home. And we... And I will say, we're in a position that I didn't think we'd be in because we were able to sell our house for a large amount, not large, a significant
profit.
More. Yeah, more than, we did a good, the market's done well in the last 6 years. So for what we bought it from, we're being able to walk away with a lot more liquid cash than we probably would have thought or normally what we went into this current house with. So when we moved into this current house, it was like, hey, Dad, can you loan us half of our down payment? So this is the first one where we're like, oh, we could like put down a down payment, still get approved for the loan, and then still have like an amount
right.
that you're gonna get taxed on as income if you don't reinvest it in whatever the amount of time is. So we can put this back into the house and we're gonna be gaining equity from it. So we're going for it, Katie.
I'm so
we
excited
might
to have
it.
A front row seat of this.
Okay, so the budget's done. This is
Shaylee
step three.
With a budget, look out.
You're, it's tiny, but all those contractors have to deal with me. Okay, so I'm going to wear a pantsuit. the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, a woman wore a dress in this house for a long time. I will be in suits. Thank you, Roger.
But it is very warm.
It's very hot in here. I'm going to need you to fix that AC stat.
That AC.
But I'm getting bids. Okay. So, also, budget. Be realistic and plan for surprises. It's always more fun to, like, budget an amount for surprises and then be like, oh, that's going to cost $500 more? Whew, good thing I planned for it instead of, like, the HGTV drama. Right. Plan for a budget, there, especially if it's an older home. There's going to, even if you're building a brand new home, there's going to be surprises. It's going to cost more. Plan for it. Plan, like, 15% or whatever in a little side fund. And then, worst case scenario, you don't go over budget and then you have that money to throw down on the principal of your home or save for a rainy day. So it just takes a lot of the stress out, I feel like.
Worst case scenario, it took 30% more and you only had 15 saved.
And then you keep the pink bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Right? Or watch a YouTube on how to tile and make a mess of yourself. Yeah, I'm just kidding. You can do it.
Send your day over.
You can do it.
Because he tiled a backsplash and did a darn good job.
Does he tile, like, for business or does he just tile for recreational?
You know, his business is... tile, but he doesn't physically do it.
He doesn't install.
But he did in our home.
Okay.
He done did it.
I might be calling Jared and be like, Jared, you're Katie's husband, but I'm getting bids. Okay.
Roger. He's like, it's Jared.
Roger.
Shh, Roger, listen.
We're going to call you Roger. Roger that. Okay. Step four, finalize your plans. Okay. Now you know what your budget is. You know what you like. And you know what you can spend, and you know what Roger's gonna charge, and you know which Roger's charging you the least, but also which Roger's, like, you wanna spend some time with, because you're kind of entering into a relationship. So if there's, like, sketchy Roger that's the cheapest, you might go with middle of the road Roger that seems like an honest guy. Don't pay your contractors up front either. Like, don't pay them 100% up front. Don't give them access to the account with, I mean, this is, you
know. Common sense.
Well.
But yeah, maybe not.
You'd be surprised. Just since Roger acts really confidently, it's okay for you to be like, why don't you tell me what supplies you need? I'll give you enough for the supplies, or you bring me the receipt, I'll reimburse you, and then pay in phases as the work's completed. Okay, so now that you have a general idea of what you can spend, now you can do the fun stuff and drop the floor plans. This is what I've been doing. So the guy we bought the house from had floor plans because he's a precious man, gave us all the floor plans of the house. And so I measured... I measured all of the furniture that I wanted or our current furniture that we had. So, like, I cut out, like, the standard size of a toilet, like, the size of our current shower. So, like, a 2-foot by 3-foot shower. And then I cut out, like, the sink we probably won't get or whatever. And then I cut them out in separate with a little scale.
Oh, my.
And then you can move them around. So instead of 75 sketches, you just, like, play dollhouse with a piece of paper.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'm sure there's probably an app or, you know, a computer program. I know there's a computer program. I use AutoCAD. There's probably a simpler one that's free now that you can do that. But I'm kind of a tactile, I want to hold it in my hands person. So I cut it all out, and then I moved it around. And then when I got it to the perfect, and Jonathan was like, that looks good, then I taped it. Mm-hmm. So now I have, like, a little to scale.
I want to see it.
Floor plan. And a scale, so you can get an actual, like, drawing scale that's, like, 1/8 inch equals 1 foot. And I have that just from school. But you can also just, like, I use 1/2 inch equals 1 foot is pretty much all I use all the time. It's about the size to fit, like, a whole room on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it with a normal ruler. So it's basically, like, 1/2 inch on a normal ruler. So if you draw a line for one inch, that's 2 feet. So if you do 10 inches, that's 20 feet. So then what you can do is say if the shower is 2 feet, you draw 1 inch
right.
by 2 inches by 1 inch, and then you cut it out, and then there's your little shower, and you can move it around. And it's to scale. You can put the windows in.
Question.
Yes.
Did you cut out a Jonathan to scale to see if he'd fit in the bathtub?
I did. He will. He has to turn sideways.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I drew in details. He has a little outfit on, his little jams.
Oh, those details.
Swim trunks. I'm sorry, Jonathan, if you ever listen to this. Okay, so order anything once you know what you're doing. Order anything that you know that will take a while to arrive. So if there's a couch that you want, click on your link in your Google Doc and see if the shipping time is like 6 to 8 weeks or like 12 weeks or if it's like custom or whatever. Sometimes you think you're going to order, which a couch wouldn't be. That's a horrible example. I'm talking about something you need, like a fixture, light fixture, toilet, tub,
$2,000 farm sink that's enameled.
I'm so
special
interested
faucets
to see if you end up with this thing.
Me too.
This now will be everyone's the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Did
but
she or
maybe
didn't she?
I got it on Craigslist and painted it myself. You'll be able to tell. Okay, so
you'll be able to tell. There's a lot of rust usually on the Craigslist ones.
So anyway, order anything that you need, but I'm not ordering anything right now because I don't want anything to arrive before we actually get to the house. Because anything you buy, you're super excited. Anything you buy, first of all, the sale could still fall through, you know, cross your fingers. But second of all, if it gets to your house, you're just going to have to move it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, just
take advantage of that free mover.
Right.
Called shipping.
Amazon's going to move it for you to the new house. So don't order anything until that. Okay. So step five, we're getting close. You start selecting the bids and the contractors you're going to go with and get onto their schedules. So I like to give people an idea of our schedule. When I first called the first contractor we were bidding, which he's worked with my family a lot and my dad's business and their house and stuff. So he's really priced really well. So I knew we were probably going to use him for electrical and plumbing and all that kind of thing. So up front I said, we're closing on June 20th. What's your schedule like? And he's finishing up a job right now. So he had already kind of booked, like blocked out some time in there. So then what happened is once we got his pricing back, we talked about it, we crunched the numbers, and we said, yes. Then he was able to block the day we're closing for demo for 3 weeks we have him.
Nice.
Yes. And so will everything get done in 3 weeks? Probably not, but that's still a really good first start. And then we'll kind of coordinate other people's schedules around him with like the floor finishers and that kind of thing. Make sure you include items that you're purchasing in your budget. So like light fixtures, paint, even if you're like, we're going to paint it ourselves. Well, that's still like the paint costs money and the sanding thing costs money and the drop cloths. Like it depends if you painted before or not, if you have to buy supplies and stuff. So make sure you remember all that kind of thing. If you have to buy a dumpster, bathroom fixtures, stuff like that is not going to be in the bid usually. If it is included in the bid, I would have them not, because you can shop around and find a really good deal on a toilet. And if they're buying the tile and the grout and all that, just say, hey, no, we're going to supply it. We just need to know, like, your labor for installing the tile and the bathroom.
Okay, so that's interesting, because sometimes people will say, here's your budget for your tile.
Yeah.
Go pick it out at the store.
Yeah, so there's no way, usually, unless they're really honest and they just say, I'm not making money. I mean, I would charge for that. I wouldn't, like, usually, if I was them, if I was, like, being a good business person, I'm going to upcharge everything.
Right.
So if it's tile, I mean, maybe it's not even a lot, but if budget's a concern, like, if they're buying your grout and your tile, even if they're not upcharging it, surely they're, like, charging for their time to, like, pick it up even. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the contractor, but the way that we're doing it, even if the guy who's doing our plumbing says, I know a guy who does brick, I'm like, okay, well, we're getting brick bids if he wants to throw out his bid, but I'm not saying, let us know how much that'll cost, guy, because then he's going to be making money. I mean, any smart business person would. So what I'm trying to do is cut everyone out separate, and I'm trying to act like the general contractor.
Right.
To work.
You're the builder.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be the builder, and I'm going to make the whatever, 30%, I don't know what they make. Or save the 30%. Get 30% more work
done. Man, you'd
done.
Be a great builder.
Well.
You should do that now.
We'll see. If this breaks me.
Yeah,
see
that's
if
true.
It breaks me. This is not even like a full reno. It's not like we're gutting it or
you
anything.
You know what I would do if you broke?
What?
Just pin tuck you.
Just pin tuck?
Just make you right again.
Like, tuck point.
Oh, tuck point.
Yeah. Pin, point, same.
Brought to you by? Pin tuck.
Pin tuck. The thing that doesn't exist.
Okay. Oh, it exists.
You're using a lot of terminology.
Pin tucking.
Okay. Talk through your plan. This is still in step five of getting on scheduling and everything. Talk through your plans. Find your favorite of your people that you're working with and depend on the experts in their field. They do this all the time. So there's no reason that you should act like you know more than them, because you don't. And what I'm finding from working with contractors in my work is that a lot of contractors don't like to work with designers because designers don't treat them well. Mm. And they come in and they say, do this. Peons. And then I'm like, well, what do you think? You do cabinets all the time. That's all you do. I do cabinets every once in a while when a client needs it. And I just give them ideas. But like, by all means, like, you're the cabinet guy.
Right.
All you do is kitchen cabinets. Like, you tell me. And then he'll be like, well, we did this one in this other house that was really cool with a corner piece that scoots up here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great. Because it's kind of like the group mentality. Why not get ideas from everyone?
Aww.
I don't know. That's just
this is why I like being your friend.
Be a nice human. It's really simple, guys. But
you mean there's like more to learn?
There's more to learn, always. It's the same thing, though, with your contractors. Like, I have an idea that makes sense in my brain as to what I want it in what order. So I want demo. Then after the demo's done, we're going to sand all the floors, and we're going to cover the floors and tape them, and then we're going to paint everything. But it's like six one, half dozen the other. Like, do you want the floor stain to splash on the new paint, or do you want the new paint to drip on the freshly finished floor? You know, it's like everyone has a different opinion. So I'm going to do what Jonathan and I think is the best, and I'm going to get it in order, and then I'm going to ask, hey, what do you think? Does this sound like it makes sense? And they might say, well, actually, when you have everything ripped apart, I do the this, because then that's going to be, and you're like, oh, that's a really good point. Or you don't do it. I mean, whatever. But ask for opinions and second opinions from people you are working with, because they do it all the time. There's no reason to try to be a hero. And let's see. Oh, yeah, put the order. So once you ask questions and all of that, put the order that you're going to get everything done in. So now you have the prices, you have your budget, you have your style, you know what items you want, and then you have a schedule of the order that you want to complete everything in with contacts and a time frame. And then you just do it.
Easy.
I'm in the just do it phase. I'm actually in the scheduling phase. I'm like getting all of the bids and scheduling it out. But I have a Google Doc going.
Oh man.
And I have my most costly bids in and scheduled. And so now it's like, you know, let's get three brick guys in and they can work on the outside brick whenever. They don't have to coordinate with the inside. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful.
I think it's great.
I just feel like it's, I don't know, you feel like you have to either just hire a big expensive company to do everything for you, or you have to like DIY your brick work, you know? And someone's like, I can't do that. I guess I'll just never leave my house ever. So, yeah. That's kind of my,
So Shaylee,
it's kind of my wrap up. What are your questions?
Like, you got a man. You got to share this visual journey as you go. It's gonna be so fun.
Well, we'll see.
To watch. I do have a question. I have a follow up question.
Yes.
When did women get the right to vote?
Are you asking Siri right now?
No, I'm just asking you.
Oh, you're asking me. 1918. It's a guess. 1908. Does it have an 8? I'm a terrible person.
What did we say, 1925?
Well, 1925 is what the joke was at the beginning, but I guess 1918.
The United States gave women equal voting rights in all states with the 19th Amendment ratified.
I did know that.
In 1920.
We were so close!
So the woman building your house could vote on whether she wanted a tile or not.
Right.
Or she could vote in a voting booth.
She could vote for all of the things. Thank you, lady that built that house. Because we know you were behind scheduling all the contractors, getting the bids, and making a Google Doc for it. So we have an awesome surprise segment. I have a surprise segment for Katie. But first, we're going to thank our segment sponsor. So something about having a baby makes you want to be a better person.
I know, right?
It does. All of a sudden you're like, I have created life. So when Opal was born 2 years ago, I was like, I'm going to start using natural products everywhere. And when I meant everywhere, I meant everywhere for Opal. So I've done pretty well with Opal stuff, but I got overwhelmed when it came time for like me to get stuff or stuff for the whole house, like cleaner, when it just got really overwhelming.
You mean like all natural stuff, non-toxic, that kind of thing?
Right, right. So like laundry detergents, cleaning supplies, beauty stuff. So I just didn't know where to start. It was totally stressful, but then I found Grove Collaborative.
What I like about it is everything on the website is already non-toxic products.
Right.
They even give you a Grove guide, so you don't have to, you know, think.
Right. Mine's name's Caroline. Her favorite food is ramen. And she's here to help me when I have all the annoying questions or when I want to price match the one natural product that Walmart actually carries.
Ooh, can't say Walmart. We'll bleep that. They have some of my favorite brands like Mrs. Meyers and Seventh Generation and Method. Like basically anything
all
pretty.
All the pretty ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the ones that smell delicious and aren't killing you.
Yeah. Bonus.
Bonus. Grove's VIP membership provides you with unlimited free shipping, a free full-size gift every few months, and price match guarantee. Just go to grove.co/sk and sign up.
Grove makes it easy to have a happy, healthy home.
Caroline makes it easy to have a happy, healthy home.
Hey, Caroline, is my ramen done?
Okay, so we're back.
We're back.
For our surprise segment. Our, I mean mine, I don't know if I've ever, I think maybe I've done a surprise segment before.
You did surprise acceptance speech.
Okay, that's right. Okay, so this is my second time surprising Katie. Katie always surprises me. Fun. This segment is called...
Don't make me sing.
Contractor Speak. She wants to sing. That's newsflash. She wants to sing. Contractor Speak. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So the fun thing...
Pintuck!
Pintuck. You've been trying to do it this whole episode, which is really giving me joy. because now I'm going to... Okay.
Roger.
So there's a lot of contract lingo. Full disclosure. I looked up like a dictionary online of contractor lingo, and I had to click each arrow to get to the next page. So I have like A, B, C is as far as I got. Like the words I'll start with A, B, or C because I didn't go all the way. There were that many words. So I'm going to give you a word that a contractor would know or use.
Yeah.
And you have to use it in a sentence.
Well, obviously I can do that.
Okay. Access panel.
Hey, it's Roger. Can I access that panel?
Okay. Okay. Correct.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What is an access panel?
Can't use it as a question.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. I see. Access panel. I mean, yeah, it's a removable swinging panel that you can get to things from, right? Okay. Providing access to concealed equipment.
Should I attempt to use, like, to define it within the sentence?
Sure. Yeah. Let's yeah, go for that. Okay. Contractor speak. Chalk reel.
Oh. I think maybe I kind of know what this is. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and make a chalk reel outline of your property.
Where the dead body was found. That's correct, though. It's one of those, it's a string that they go snap, and then it makes like a chalk line.
Yep.
This is your last word. This is my favorite one.
Okay.
You have to define it in the sentence.
Okay.
Contractor speak. I'm just imagining any contractor saying this. Okay. Cleavage membrane.
That can't be a real thing.
It's a real thing. Define it. Use it in a sentence. Cleavage membrane.
Oh, are we marking this episode explicit? Okay. To answer that one, I want to take us back to 1925 when the house was built. Because I'm assuming that's where this conversation took place.
Right.
The contractor's talking to the lady
of the
house.
Cleavage was membrane.
Mm-hmm. So, here's an example. Hey, Edna. Oh, hey, Roger, the contractor. First of all, I just want to say how much I respect you and I'm interested in who you voted for the last 5 years. And congratulations again on that, right? Sure, Roger, thanks. No, I appreciate it. Right. I just want to say that I respect you. And, like, I would never say anything about your cleavage membrane. Thank you for what you do.
As she's, like, slowly pulling her sweater together.
I respect you.
Katie's making a direct eye contact with me while she's doing this one woman show, and it's making me uncomfortable with my cleavage membrane. I just wanted to
point that
out. I'm gonna
get back on your roof, and I'm gonna repair your cleavage membrane.
You guessed it right away.
Oh my God.
It's roofing felt. Yeah, it's like it's.
Whoa! I surprised myself.
It's waterproof. Yeah, polyurethane.
Well, better be.
The cleavage membrane protects the item that they're putting on the house, like brick or tile.
Thanks, guys. We're Shaylee and Katie. You're Roger!
See you next week. Okay, so for all the kids listening, cleavage membrane. It's a layer of 15-pound roofing felt or the equivalent type of construction paper or polyurethane sheeting used to isolate a wire-reinforced mortar bed for tile from the concrete substrate.
Mortar bed, am I right? Next week we have Tasha Early from Glitter and Wit, which is a thriving online children's boutique business. We talked to her about how she built it into an empire and how she might just shut it all down.
Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We love hearing from you guys on Instagram, email, especially our favorite place of all, iTunes reviews.
Guys, we love reviews, and they help other people hear about the podcast, and we actually read every single one.
We read them, and we squeal, and we screenshot them.
Then maybe we text them to each
other. It's weird, but anyway, we appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for sharing the podcast on social media.
If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com or find us at shayleeandkatie.com.
We could not do this without you. And we love you.
We love you. We're in love with you.
Too soon.